Thank you, Jesus. The love of God shall reign within us because we are of God. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. It's the love of God that will reign and shine within you if you allow it to. A gentleness. Love has a gentleness about it, but a firmness. A firmness that cannot be denied by the devil. The devil is afraid of you. Somebody say amen. He is very afraid of him. But the problem is we have not seen ourselves the way God sees us. A friend of mine years ago, Rick Watts, used to say the devil is like a mouse with a megaphone. And it's really true. He's screaming out. It seems to be loud. But the lies that he's bringing to you, the truth will outweigh and trump it every time. Can I hear an amen?
Yes,
it will. So you've got to understand that God loves you. His love wants to flow through you for the nasty people in the world. Some of them are just not, they're not healthy at all. They are so selfish. But you were that way too. And some of you may still be dealing with that. It's time to overcome that. And that's why we can meditate on the scripture. I thank God for the anointing. We can meditate on the scripture and say, I am of God and I am his child. Because greater is he who's in me than he who is in the world.
Yes.
The greater was in me. I am protected. I'm protected by love himself. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Thank you, Jesus. There's so much more we could go. Hallelujah. Now, look at Philippians chapter 2, if you would please. We'll look at this from the Amplified back there if you have it. Philippians chapter 2. Verse 13. Are you getting anything?
Yes.
There's so much in the Bible. There's so much in the Word. So if you'll take time and meditate on it, think about it. Don't just read it. Think about it. Lord, how does this apply to my life? How can I apply this to what you desire for me to do? Philippians 2, 13 from the Amplified. Not in your own strength, for it is God who is all the while effectually at work in you, energizing and creating you knew the power and desire. Everybody say desire.
Desire.
Both to will and to work for his good pleasure, satisfaction, and delight. God is in you and he wants to use you. I shared a testimony the other day, Joanne and I did, but we didn't share everything about it. We went into a local restaurant and we prayed before we went. God gave us where to go. We went there, and this is what you can do every day. So you can do this. And you say, well, I'm a little intimidated by this. Well, I was too. I was very intimidated by it. You know, my wife is the one who went to For Your Health first and before I would ever go. My wife is the one who, I mean, I sent her. I said, you go. My wife is the one who's got this ministry. You know, she's laying hands on people that are getting healed all the time. I'm laying hands on them and they're not. And we're going, okay, you know, what's going on here, God? But I was looking at results. Quit looking for results. Look to God. And let him deal with the results. See, it's the first person I ever laid hands on for healing died. We're going to have a healing line right now. Who wants to come up and... I mean, and I'll go... I've told this story before. I went home and I called Jim Ray. He was a good friend of mine and he was a spiritual father to me. I got on the phone and I had to go up to this Bible study and get in Charlotte and teach. Brother Ray, I'm so... Oh God, no, so it's wrong. I laid hands on this lady and her temperature spiked and they packed her in ice or something like that and she ended up dying. What do I do? And you know what he told me? The word works, Bert. It's not your problem. You, and it's not your responsibility. You lay hands, God heals them. Don't worry about the rest of it. Now, when you get that in your mind, you get that in your thinking that, hey, it's not me.
That's right.
It's not, everybody say,
it's not me.
It's God.
God.
If you allow God and you are say, I am of God, and the one that's in me has overcome them already, has already overcome the devil. Then it's if he's going to overcome through me, and he can overcome the junk they're dealing with in their life, whether it's sickness, sin, whatever, bad habits, whatever, the behavior that they have, God has overcome that for them through Christ if they will just accept it. So it's up to you just to let him flow. Amen?
Yes.
So that's what we did. We walked in, sat down at the restaurant. I'm not going to go through the whole testimony again, but it was kind of interesting because God gave me a witty invention or a witty idea at the last minute to look at the guy's hat. And I think it's an Ocean Isle instead of Oak Island. It has Ocean Isle on it. And I said, oh, I like your hat. Now, what I did was this guy was limping. And this was the second guy into the restaurant that limped. And Joanne thought we were supposed to lay hands on somebody who was limping. And the first guy walked out with the phone. We never got his talking on the phone, never got a chance to. But this guy sat down like right behind us. And he was right there. So he's like, what are you going to do, God? And she looks at me and she said, would you be embarrassed or would you be feel uncomfortable if I you know, prayed for this guy? And you know what my natural man said? Oh, yes, I would. I don't want to do that. Do we really have to? Can we just enjoy a nice lunch here? The whole time she's looking for somebody's limping. Crazy Christians on the go outside the sanctuary. Hallelujah. And that's exactly what we did. And she, so I said, no, honey, I'd be fine. And in my head, I'm going, why don't you tell the truth? But no, I said, no, that's fine. Because I'm getting used to it now. You know, but I said, because he's a man, you know, let me go and just kind of, I'll stand there beside the cash register and pay, and I'll be with you. So I'm standing there, I looked at his hat, had Ocean Island on, and I said, oh, I like that, you know, I like your hat. And what that did was, now listen, God will use you in different ways, but what it did was it broke down the defensiveness right there. Now, you may not do it that way. You may walk up and say, praise God, can I lay hands on you, buddy, in the middle of the restaurant. Now, I don't work that way, you know. It's like the guy when I was in college and I had hair longer than yours and I was in another environment, let's just put it that way, another world, and I'm walking back from the post office going to a Christian's college, kind of supported college, and the guy looks at me and I'm walking back and he looks at me and he says, hey, brother, are you saved? And I looked at him and I said, from what? And this blank went over his face. He didn't know the answer. I had been born again, was so out of fellowship with God, it would have taken a lawyer to get me back, which... like God Jesus is, and he didn't know. I even knew. I knew what I was saved from. So how do you approach people? Let God show you. So I saw a hat. I said, hey, how you doing? Good to see. I mean, I said, I like your hat. I didn't say, how you doing? I said, I like your hat. It cut down the defenses, dropped the wall, and the guy starts talking about his friends who travel. He'd never been there. He got a hat. Somebody gave him one, and Joanne moved in. It was so cool. That's all I had to do, man. That was it. That was my part. Okay, woo, I'm free. And God said, no, you can lay hands on him too. I went, whoa, what, really? I thought I was supposed to pay. No, you lay hands on him. So Joint goes over and says, I'll just draw on to you. Do you have any needs in your life that I can pray for? I'm a Christian. I pray for people. Now, if somebody says no, back off. Don't push. You can still pray for them in secret. Stealth prayers, you know. And so she said, he said, yes, my sister's husband died recently, and last week, he just almost teared up. I thought, yes, my wife is a woman of God, hallelujah. And so then, you know, then God's man of faith and power steps in, yes. I just went and laid hands on her, and we prayed for him right there in the middle of the restaurant. You may say, well, what about people, what are they going to think about you? I don't really care.
Exactly.
Who cares? Especially now, I've turned 60. I really don't care. Doesn't really bother me now. Okay, it's fine. It's cool. And like one guy says, hey, my eyes are closed. Nobody can see me. No, they can. But what does it matter? Because at that point in time, you release your faith.
Right.
You expect the life and the love of God to flow out of you into them, whether you feel it or not. I've had people feel some things, and I wasn't feeling anything. It's irrelevant. It's not your responsibility. Your responsibility is to go into all the world. That's your responsibility. So as believers, that's what we're to do. I guess we ought to look at this, because it's not in your own strength, but God is in you, energizing and creating and in you the power and desire both to will and to work for His good pleasure. It's not about you. This life is not for you. This life is for others. This is for God to flow through you for others. That's your mission. I don't know if you realize that or not, but that's your mission. And if you understand that mission, you realize I can do nothing without Him. But with God, I can. Why? Because the greater one lives in me. Hallelujah. He's in me and He can do it. But I've got to get out of the way. If you think that life is just working a job 9 to 5 or 8 to 8 or whatever you do and coming home and having a mortgage and doing the paying the bills and getting up the next day and going through it, you're missing the point. All that is so that if you God gives you the desire to have children, you can just repopulate the earth, shoot the arrows out like Kenny and Christina are doing with the word, and we infect this place. See, the whole idea is to affect and infect the world. That's why you're here. Forget it. If you think you're here to see how many cars and boats and houses and stuff you can get, forget it. You'll find that's empty. I know a friend of my multi-millionaire, and he was so unhappy at times. The stuff and the money and the security, that didn't make him happy. He looked at me straight in the face and just, I mean, it was heartbreaking to hear it. But he said, you know, I've worked my whole life for money. And he said, but you look at you. Look what God's doing through you. Whew. That's a tough thing to hear from somebody you love. Hallelujah. So why are you here? You are here because you are of God. So that means He shot you down here on this planet. He knew you before the foundations of the world, hallelujah, and the universe. And you're here to fulfill His will, not your own. When you look at it that way, it turns something in your brain to say, I want to meditate on the Word, I want to hear what He has to say, and I want His good pleasure, satisfaction, and delight. If I am pleasing God, if He is satisfied and He is delighting with me, then hallelujah, I will be pleased, I will be satisfied, and I will be delighted. I like that. I never heard before. I like it. Woo, that's good. You see, if the more you meditate in the Word, the more revelation knowledge will come to you, and you'll begin to understand more of what God has for you and how He wants to use you. God wants to use the body. Yes, there are great big ministries and big names and all that stuff, but God wants to use us. Hallelujah. Right here in River City. It's amazing. I don't know why so many people they're come through Landrum. Joanne and I were putting the sign. Am I talking too fast? Good. Hang on. You get the tape and slow it down. Listen. I don't have much time. Jesus is coming back. The sign out there, Joanne and I do this sign. I think it's one of the greatest ministries, I think, personally, of serving people in this church, in this community, because it gets the word out. It gets the uncompromised word out, and so many people read it. It's amazing and incredible how many people drive past this building. Oh, yeah. It is unreal. Why do they do this? Somebody after the service, tell me. Why is it that Highway 14, is there access to 26 or whatever the deal is? You know, yeah, from Greenville, whatever, they come the back way or whatever, they're tired of 85 and all that. But it's amazing how many people drive past here. How many people we are affecting just with that little sign out there. So find out what God wants you to do and let God show you how to minister to people. Look at the person beside you and say, I'm getting something, I really am. So, His good pleasure, satisfaction, and delight. I wrote this down. I will not let fear of the unknown, pride, or selfishness stop the work of God in my life. Stand up if you would. Let's raise your right hand and say this. I will not let the fear of the unknown, pride, or selfishness stop the work of God in my life. And look at the person beside you and say, and you too, and then you can have a seat. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord, I'll do that. John 14, if you would. Y'all are hanging on back there. John 14, 10 from the King James. John 5, verse 30. Jesus said, John 5, 30, I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just. Because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. The will of the Father who sent me. The will of the Father who sent me. If you begin to understand, I was going to say this a few moments ago, if you begin to understand the importance of meditating on God's Word, the importance of just spending time with God. Many times we look at prayer as something, there's some duty that we have to do, you know. But if you look on it, if you change your focus and say, okay, God, this is not about me. I'm here. I am of you. I'm overcome them because greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. I'm here in the world because you sent me. I'm here. I'm here to pray. I'm here to find out what you want to work through my life, to work through the body of Christ corporately, to work through me individually, then times of prayer and meditation become a joy. It's no longer drudgery. It's no longer work. If you have to have the preacher stand up here and say, you need to pray, you need to pray, you need to pray. And what's your response to that? Is your response, I don't want to do that. Or, you know, is it like Teresa? You know, I've seen her prayer closet. We were over at their house and saw their prayer closet. I won't say. Get comfortable in the prayer closet, okay, if you need to. But find God. If it, your prayer closet may be somewhere else. It may not be a room. What was the movie about that?
War room.
It may not be a war room. For me, it's outside. I mean, I'm driving outside, or I'm paddling outside, or I'm walking outside. One of the greatest places for me to pray is in my backyard. And I don't really care what the people say. You know, I know the guy behind me has got binoculars probably that long. And he used to watch the lady behind out there because she had MS and he was felt so sorry for her. But I don't really care if he sees me raising my hands and praying. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Who cares? What do I care about that? Hallelujah. So I have a way that I walk around my backyard and I just talk to God. I just talk to God. And I pray and I intercede in the Spirit. Why? Because Pastor Scott told me to? No. Do you think I do everything he tells me to do? What does the Word say?
That's right.
If he's speaking the Word, yeah. But I'm not going out there to pray as some duty. I'm going out there to pray because I want to talk to my Heavenly Father. I want to be with Him. I want to spend time with Him. Think about when you first fell in love. Anybody here ever been in love? I'm not saying love. I'm saying love. I mean, life changes for you. All of a sudden, you see things differently. Oh, wow. Jack, I see you shaking your head. I know. Just, the grass is greener. You know, it's just beautiful. Oh, wow, honey, yes. What do you want to do? I don't care what we do. What do you want to eat? I don't care. Whatever. And you know that, oh, there's so many things in my head. Stop it. Stop it. Stop it. When I first asked Jesus in my heart, I was 12 years old, turning 13. My parents had a lake house. I was a water skier. I loved water skiing. It was a passion of mine. I'd learned how, and I just wanted to ski all the time. My mother and I were at this vacation-type home, and right in front of our cove, there was somebody during the week trying to teach somebody how to ski. Horrific accident happened. I think I've told part of this before, but a lady driving the boat, a mother of two kids, two adopted children. I was adopted, so I understood that relationship. She was in the back, water skiing, trying to learn to water ski. Nobody in the boat could swim. Two kids were in the front of the boat. The water between our cove and our dock into the cove was probably from about here to the wall. You don't try to teach someone in that small area how to ski with a boat because you have to go around them to pick them up and bring the boat back to them, or the rope back to them. And there was a headwind. And being a sailor, been sailing since I was 8 years old or so, I knew that the headwind was coming down and I thought, this is not good. So I'm out sweeping the walkway for my mom and I looked up and I thought, there's going to be an accident. And that's exactly what happened. But this particular type of boat did not have a gear shift that you push forward or push back, and it turns the gear shift and makes the gear shift and the acceleration. It had buttons. And one, the gear shift was just an accelerator. You push forward or slow it down. And the lady driving the boat could not swim. The two adopted children of the lady who learned to water ski could not swim. And instead of pressing forward, when they got in front, they're ready to come around the lady, she hit reverse. When she did, as a 12-year-old, I saw something that no 12-year-old should have ever seen. She backed into that woman and killed her right there in front of me. The horrific scenes played in my mind for months. Thank God for your health. I may cry now because I'm thankful to God that He pulled those memories out of me that were so negatively attached to me. And I had to jump in the water. My mother was screaming at me. She couldn't swim. Nobody could swim. Help me, Jesus. And people wonder why when I go kayaking, I'm so safety oriented. And I jumped in the water and pulled that boat and that woman on the back of that engine in there, and it was, I won't go into any more detail than that. But I know this. I went into the boathouse after we got called the emergency people to come, and I got on my knee and I prayed to God. I gave my life to God. I said, please let this woman live. Now, she was already dead, but I just said, please, God, I'm turning something around here. Within 2 months, I actually made Jesus the Lord of my life. From that point, something happened. The grass did become greener. I was going into the seventh grade, and when I did, I would walk down the halls of my school, and it was as if Jesus were walking beside me. I didn't have the revelation that God was in me, but I had the revelation that Jesus was beside me, and he was my friend. And he would help me through anything in my life. I was in love. I was in love with the first love of my life, the most important love that I could ever have. I didn't want to break from that. When I did years later, there was always something missing until I came back to him. You don't have to look at me and say, Bert, will you pray? Because I've been praying. People who spend time in prayer don't mind praying the drop of a hat. I didn't feel like praying the other day when the phone rang. I didn't feel like praying for that person who was a good friend of mine. Doesn't go here to church, but my mind didn't want to, but my spirit did. Yes. And when I picked up the phone and said to them, talking to them, I said, I'm going to pray for you. And when I did, the power of God came on me. The anointing of God. Why? All I did was yield.
That's right.
Like this song we sang, yield. It just came out. It just came out. It just came out. I've got a relative in prison. And last Sunday, I went and I had Ann Allen and a couple others pray. One other person pray for me. And I went and sat across for 2 hours from my relative who's in prison. He'll be out next month or next year. And we wondered what we were going to talk about. You say, where are you going with all this? It really doesn't matter to me. I'm not looking for results. I'm looking for you to hear what God needs to speak to you about. Yes. You get in a situation. I had 2-hour visitation with this guy, and I hardly knew him. Hardly knew him. They had to run us out of there. Why? Because I just spoke the word. Amen. Just speak the word only, and my servant will be healed. In John chapter 5, because I seek not my own will, but the will of him who sent me. John chapter 14, verse 10 says, but the Father that dwells in me, he does the works. If you will just get out of the way and say, God, here I am. You do the works. The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself. I'm not here for me. The greater one is in you. He has overcome. He will overcome through you if you will let him. Thank you, Father, for your love. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your extra grace.
Yes.
God, many times you show me this history of this church, the future of this body, and this one little day right here in the middle of it. There are people within the sound of my voice right now who have not entered into what you've called them to do. They have a desire, but their will stands in the way. Lord, I thank you. We are here to do your will. The will of the one who sent us to this planet. The will of the one who will set men, women, and children free.
Yes.
The will of your will, the will of Him who sent us, to set the captives free, to bring about healing and wholeness and soundness of mind. So what has hindered you? What has stopped the flow? What would be the wall of resistance that would not allow you to go into the lives and hearts of men with love Himself in tow? No, this is the day, the hour, the year when the Spirit of God shall flow in a way. If you will open yourself up to His ways, if you'll open yourself up, you'll see purpose and you will delight in what He has made you to be. Oh yes, no more struggle, no more fright. To stand in a place of love, where loneliness and despair must leave. No, only to the Word, the living, victorious Word, shall you cleave to show the world and believers in despair alike the rooms of glory, the rooms of light. The heart cry of the Father, the heart cry of love Himself, is for you to move aside and allow the greater one to flow and overcome. The greater one to show that resistance and persecution are diminished in the eyes of victory. And the victor, who is the God of the universe, reigning within you as you allow. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Today, Lord God, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you, Lord God, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.